Let the saints of the Lord say amen.
Amen.
Once again, let the saints of the Lord say amen.
Amen.
If God has been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
If God allowed you to put one foot in front of another this morning, say amen.
Amen.
God has been good to each of us, church. I talked to Brother Proud this morning. He did ask me, what do you want me to say about you? And you know, as I think about that, I'm just a humble servant of God trying to do his will. A sinner that has an opportunity to preach God's word. We all fall short. I fall short as well, but I'm glad that God died for my sins so that I may have an opportunity to the tree of life. See, too often we put the focus on us and we forget about God. Too often people lift up their ministers on a pedestal, and when their ministers sin and fall short, then members start to leave churches because they were connected to the minister, but they were not connected to God. So church, I don't want you to put me on a pedestal because I fall short. I want you to be connected and committed to God, to serving him and glorifying him. This morning, if you're worried about your minister, I did have an opportunity to talk to him this morning. And we talked this morning. He called me last night and we didn't have the opportunity to connect with each other, but he just wanted to talk to me. So we talked this morning and he's doing fine and he was getting ready to go preach God's word when I spoke with him up on this morning. Before I begin this morning, I've learned anytime you go to a congregation, a congregation does not have to invite you. So I want to thank you all for having me this morning. And also I want to thank your wonderful leadership here for inviting me back once again. Also, I would like to thank my beautiful wife and my daughter for coming out and supporting me this morning. It's very difficult. We teach the Bible Bowl class at 40th Avenue, and we've been away from 40th now for, Tika, what would you say? This is week number 5. So we were on vacation, and then after vacation, we have been going around town preaching at various congregations. So usually go to 40th for Sunday school and do the Bible Bowl class, and then we head out to our destinations. But thank you all once again for having us. If you turn your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 23 and 24 this morning. The topic for our sermon this morning will just simply be entitled The Nature of True Worship. The Nature of True Worship. Now, as we look at worship in our lives, too often I feel like that we think that worship is only what we do inside these church doors. But worship is a lifestyle. Worship is the way you talk. Worship is the way you walk. Worship is bringing glory unto God and his name. So everything that we do in our lives can be called worship. Now, when you fall short in your lives, what that's doing is not bringing glory unto God's name. It's bringing deceit and malice unto his name, because we are the people that are supposed to be showing the praises of him that have brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So worship, we're here to serve worship and to glorify God. As I was reading this text, I was thinking about the congregations that I visit. I was thinking about myself and growing up as a young man to preach God's word. And too often I feel like that we all have our checklist. Don't we have our checklist, church? And you have your checklist. And on that checklist, you have certain things that you know you need to do within that day. And so in our lives, sometimes worship just becomes a formality. It becomes a note on our checklist. And when we wake up on Sunday morning, We come to worship service and we look at our checklist mentally and we worship God, or we call it worship. And as we walk out of the back door, we check the check off that checklist and we say that I've done that. What's next? Now, I know this because you can look at the attendance at any church on Sunday morning and then look at the attendance on Sunday night. Now, I'm not here to judge anyone or to judge their motives. In Jeremiah 17 and 9, it says that the Lord is the only person that can judge a man's heart. But if you know you're going to stand before God that is going to condemn you in your sins, why not worship him today? See, we worship what we want to worship. In Romans 10, 1 and 2, there were a people that were God's chosen people, which many people in the world today still has an issue with that. There's a political argument going on about Israel. And I'm sorry that Israel is no longer God's chosen people. We're all God's chosen people. But Paul says that my prayer and heart's desire for Israel is that they may be saved. And when I look at that scripture, I have a question. Now, these Jews or these Israelites were God's chosen people in the Old Testament. So when God decided to send his son down to this sin-cursed world to die for our sins, Paul says in Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation, to the Jews first, or to all who believe, to the Jews first and to the Gentiles. So these Israelites didn't want to change when Jesus changed his thought process on who were God's chosen people. So Paul comes back and says that my prayer and heart's desire is that they may be saved. True worship. Our prayer and heart's desire is that mankind may be saved. But what's the issue in the world that we live in? We live in a world that even whatever church you go to, we call everybody Christians, right? But I'm going to tell you today, and I'm going to prove to you today, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, then you are not a Christian. Christians are only in the Lord's church, the church of Christ. That's where Christians reside. God died for one church. And in that one church, there is one form of doctrine. If we don't obey that form of doctrine, then we are not Christians. Here's the thing. That they may be saved, Paul said, but they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they go about setting up their own systems of righteousness. How many of us in here, by show of hands, I'm starting to pull a pit. You like to have your way. How many of y'all like Burger King? You know Burger King's motto is what? Have it your way. Well, I tell you, in this society that we live in, we like instant gratification. In the church, we can't have it our way. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. The proverbial writer says in Proverbs 12 and 15 that the fool is right in his own eyes. I just fear, church, that we go through life and checking off these boxes on our list, and when we stand before God, we're going to be condemned unto hell because we haven't been worshiping God in spirit and in truth, but we have been worshiping in vain. Now, when we talk about in vain, what am I talking about? How many times have you come to worship and you have your mind on something else other than worshiping God? How many times have you come to worship in the past year and you have an alt with your brother or sister sitting in the audience and you can't worship God because you don't have your situation right with your brother or sister? Then you're worshiping in vain. How many times have you come to worship service and you don't sing praises along with the song leader? You don't open up your book because I don't feel like singing today. I had a bad week. Well, we all have bad weeks, but we sing because we have joy in our hearts. See, worship is an outward expression to an inward feeling, and I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy.
So if I have an out with my brother and sister, what I need to do is I need to get it right before service so I can worship God.
As we continue, turn your Bible to John chapter 4, 23 and 24. And the Bible reads, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." As we look at our text for today, if you don't mind underlining in your Bibles, must, or in your on your iPads, highlight it, or on your iPhones, highlight it. Must. So let's read 24 again. God is spirit, and those who worship him can worship him in spirit and in truth. They that worship him might worship him in spirit and in truth. Must. See, church, the reason why I did that, because words are very important. If we miss a word in scripture, we can miss the message. We live in a life where we say that God gives us choices. God does give us choices. But there are certain things that God does not give us choices about. He does not give us a choice by the way that we serve him. God tells us how to serve him, and that's how he expects to be served. Now, if I don't want to serve him that way, then I'm being disobedient. Now, I use this as an example sometimes just to bring it home. Now, I have a choice to do what I want to do when it's my wife's birthday. But usually my wife tells me what she wants on her birthday. Now, my wife likes caramel cake. I happen to like strawberry cake. Now, if it's her birthday, would it be right for me to go out and buy her a strawberry cake, knowing she likes caramel cake, but I bought the strawberry cake so I can enjoy it too? See, too often we go out and we make worship what we want to make it, and then we offer it to God and say, "God, this is for you. But I made a couple of changes to make it appealing to everybody, to make everybody happy when they come to serve you. But God is not pleased with that. God says that I don't need your 2 cents. I gave you the 2 cents that you got." See, God, if he could have a bad day, on God's bad day, he would be better than us on our best day. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth." The Bible says that my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, thus saith the Lord. So God says, if you even think that you have a little bit of sense, don't even test me, because I'm going to make you look like a fool. They that worship me must. See, must is an imperative. That's something that's saying, if you're going to follow me, that's what you have to do. You don't have a choice. See, when we feel like we have a choice, you go back over to Luke chapter 11. Jesus is talking, and he says, "Those that do not gather it with me, scatter it abroad." He says, either you with me, or you against me. Either we're going to worship God the right way and be with him, or we're going to do what we want to do and be against him. A couple of questions I want you to consider this morning as we're going through this lesson. What is worship? Does worship have any meaning to you? Does it improve you as a person? Does worship make you better for the kingdom? And does worship benefit others? As you ponder these questions, as you worship God, worshiping God makes you a better person. So as worshiping, if worshiping God makes you a better person, it should make the world around us a better world. It should change our thoughts. It should change the way we walk. It should change the way we talk. But too often as Christians, we worship God while it's good, don't we? And then when it gets bad, we stop worshiping God and we want to have our own ways. You know how I can say that, church? Because I consider myself as being a transparent preacher. I tell on myself. I tell the truth. I'm a sinner. I fall short. I say things that I shouldn't say. I do things that I shouldn't do. But I know how to ask God for forgiveness. But you know, sometimes I get angry. And sometimes when I get angry, my mouth starts to run before I think about what I'm saying. Do any of y'all do that? Or am I just thinking about myself? See, sometimes some people can anger you, and you know what you should do, but then the devil gets into you and he says, guess what? You can go tell them off, then you can come back and repent to God. Have you ever done that before? See, I've done that before. See, life is hard, but with God, it's easy. You know, I teach the college class at 40, and me and my college students, we have knockout and drag out debates sometimes. One of my college students, and we were talking about worship, and he is a social maniac. And this young man, I happened to be on Facebook, and we're friends on Facebook. And you know, anything he put on his page gonna connect to my page. So we had to have a discussion after church because he put some things on his page that connected to my page, and my boss at work is my friend as well, so she can see. See, what we have to look at is whatever we do on the outside of these buildings, reflect on the church and reflect on God. See, sometimes we have to call people out. We don't like to do that, do we? See, if you do it biblically, Matthew 18 says if you have an ought against your brother, if your brother is doing something that's bringing shame on the church, then you should go talk to your brother. If they don't change their ways, the Bible says you should take two more with you. If they still don't change their ways, you should take it to the church. Then after we take it to the church, if they don't change their ways, guess what we have to do, church? We don't like to do this. You have to turn away from them. You have to treat them like a non-believer. You can't have any association with them. The nature of true worship. Too often we don't like to worship God in spirit and truth. We don't like to follow his regulations. We want to do what we want to do because we're an emotional type of people. Well, when I serve God, I have to take my emotions out of it. Because when I put my emotions into it, I start thinking the wrong way. As we continue, a couple of ways, we're going to look at the right basis of worship. What is the right basis of worship? And we're going to look at the right person that we should be worshiping. The Bible says that we should worship God in what? In spirit and in truth. Now, spirit and truth, is that inseparable? The Bible has joined together. Young people, you have had your English classes, right? What kind of conjunction is and? It's a C conjunction. It's a coordinated conjunction. It put two thoughts together. So, spirit and truth. So, can't I worship God in spirit if I don't have the truth? Now remember what Romans 10, 1 and 2 said. It says, well, they have a seal of God. So they have a spirit of God, but not according to knowledge. Therefore, they don't have the truth. So
So the Bible says, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they go about setting up their own system of righteousness. So spirit and truth are together. They're joined. We can't separate them. So if we have the truth, but we don't have the spirit, we don't have the mindset, we're not focused on worship service, then we're worshiping God in vain. If we have the spirit, we have the zeal, but we don't have the truth. Look at all them cars next door. They show up to serve a God that they don't even know who they serve. If you look at Acts 17, Paul talks about the Athenians serving the unknown God. They were going there to serve God, but they really didn't know who they were serving. So you have a people that have a zeal for God. I believe they're good people. I believe they have good intentions, but they don't have the truth. And if you don't have the truth, you're not serving God. Go over to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. I want to prove it to you. Let's give you a parallel text. The Bible says, go out into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. They that believe and what? And are baptized shall be saved. Now we have a coordinating conjunction again. Now remember that God is not the author of confusion. So God's word, it comes together, it gels together, and it meshes together. So once again, we have a coordinating conjunction. They that believe and are baptized shall be saved. So let me ask you a question. Worshiping God in spirit and truth, can I pray the sinner's prayer and worship God in spirit and truth? You know what the sinner's prayer is? It just means that you praying to God, you open up your life, and God just come in, swoop in, and save your soul. But the Bible says, now that sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds real good. But they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. So they that believe will be saved, brother, right? No, sir. They that are baptized shall be saved, right? Because in other religious backgrounds, they baptize people. So shouldn't that be good enough? Belief plus baptism equals being saved. But after that it says, but they that believe it not shall be condemned. So, we like the love word, don't we? I tell my wife I love her as much as I can. You know why? Because I don't want no other man telling me he loves her. So I do it myself. I do my job. So, what if I say, Tika, I love you, but? Ladies, what does that but mean? It's a contrasting conjunction. It means that everything I said before, I said but, is going to be different. So Jesus says, they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. But now he's talking about those that won't be saved. They that believe and not shall be condemned. Believe in what? Believe in the gospel. Believe in his word. Believe that he died for your sin. Have an open mind when you come to worship him. So we are trying to connect our spiritual being with God's being. Now we're looking at the right basis for worship. How can I worship God is the question. How can you? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man be in Christ, Paul says he is a new creature. All things have gone away. Behold, everything has become new. So when you come in contact with the water, when you come in contact with God in baptism, that's considered as a tomb and a womb. You die a physical life, but you're reborn a spiritual being. And being a spiritual being, you can have a connection with God. If you go over to 1 John 1 and 7, the Bible says, if I walk in the light, as he walks in the light, we should have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse us of all righteousness. See, baptism brings you in contact with that blood that washes you of all of your sins, that changes your ways, that changes your motives, that allows you to action to serve God the way that he needs to be served. But you know what happens? Happened to me. Too many people get baptized
Or too many people get wet, but they're not converted.
We know what to do because it's formality. We're just going through the motion. Don't go through the motion when you're worshiping God. Hebrews 9 and 26, the Bible tells us that it's appointed once a man to die, and then the judgment seat of Christ. Everything you've done in your life is going to be set before you. Now, if we start thinking about that right now, many of us need to change our ways today. Because we all have skeletons in that closet, don't we? Things that we don't want people to know about. And we're so worried about everybody else, we forget about God. When everybody else didn't see it, God saw it. So our spirit, it cultivates our relationship with God. Let me challenge you to do this. How many of us read our Bible on a daily basis? Got one back there. And guess what? I'm telling the truth too. Sometimes I don't get to read my Bible. It's not because I don't have time. It's because sometimes I don't prioritize it and make time. So let me ask you this question. Try only eating on Sundays and Wednesdays. Do you think you can? See, we know about the physical side. We know we have to eat physically, but what about spiritually? See, when I don't read my Bible, I always end up in some type of turmoil. I always have to deal with some type of issue. I always say something I shouldn't say because I have gotten away from doing what I know I need to do, which is worship God. To worship God, you must be a Christian. You must be a Christian. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me show you what happens sometime that kind of gets into the way of our worship. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12 and 1, he says, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that's been set before you. Let me show you what happened. We get baptized. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says everything's washed away, right? So that old man is gone. But we walk away as a new man, but then we look back and say, I got to give up all that, God? You mean I got to give up all of that? And so we have a zeal of God, and we say, God, what can I do for your kingdom? I want to serve you. I want to work in the church. But then we keep on looking back. And when we keep on looking back, we just say, well, I'm just going to get close to it. I just want to touch it, see if it still feels the same way. And then you go back a little bit more. Well, I don't think it'll hurt. If you give up your drinking for the Lord, you may say, I don't think one drink will hurt. Then you drink that one drink, and what happened? Well, one didn't hurt. I'm still serving God. Well, I can have two drinks now. That didn't hurt me. And then you find yourself worse off in the end than you were in the beginning. See, we go back and we pick up those vices that God has relieved us of. See, so we have to set aside every weight. We have to set aside our vices to worship God. How many of us in here have vices? We all got vices. Guess what? But the difference between somebody that is faithful and somebody that's unfaithful is that the person that has, we all have the vices, but the faithful person recognizes the vices, recognizes that this is an area that they're weak in, and call on God to help them. Amen. And then also, when I find myself faced with those vices, I run. I don't try to indulge in them. I don't try to hang around those environments that used to get me in trouble. I stay away from them. Why? Because I know that 9 times out of 10, I will fall short. Because there's areas in my life that I'm deficient and that I'm weak and that I need help. I need God. Lay aside some things. So what are you willing to lay aside for the Lord to worship him? Think about it for one moment in your life. What do you need to lay aside? I know what I need to lay aside. I know what I need to work on, and I'm working on it right now. But what do you need to work on? See, we all want to go to heaven. Everybody in here want to go to heaven, right? But nobody wants to make the sacrifices to get there. Jesus died on that cross. He made sacrifices for us to worship him. But now we consider ourselves entitled. Entitled. You're going to give it to me anyway. You hear people say, well, he told the thief on the cross that he was going to paradise. So if he told the thief on the cross, why ain't he going to tell me? Well, it's because when he told the thief on the cross that the kingdom had not come into force at that point. The kingdom is now in force, and we all are to abide by the same rules and regulations. Lay aside some things. We have to have a focused mindset. True worship calls your mind to be focused and centered on God. Don't allow anything to distract you from worshiping God. Now, sometimes there are things that distract you. You know, I keep on talking about my college class, some of the young ladies in my class. They're adults now, so I can talk to them. And they wear things that are not becoming of young ladies. And I tell them, I say, you know, coming to worship service this way, you can be a distraction and a hindrance to somebody else. I said, cover it up. And I said, if you want to show it, get married and show it to your husband, because I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Because that type of stuff is a distraction. See, we have to put these things away. We have to not cause anybody else to fall short. Don't cause anybody else to fall short. So focus mind. In our focused mind, sometimes our afflictions distract us, don't we? We're afflicted. I remember when you talk about Job. Job says that he's going to serve the Lord. Regardless of his situation, he's going to serve the Lord. Regardless of his predicament, he's going to serve the Lord. Church, regardless of your situation, serve the Lord. I've been reading this book about the difference between millionaires and the middle class. Don't we all want to be millionaires? Go and tell the truth, church. You know you want to be a millionaire. But here's the difference. The book says that a millionaire would do things today that the middle class won't do, to have things that the middle class won't have tomorrow. As a Christian, we should be willing to do things today that other people won't do today, so we can have those things that they won't have tomorrow. Man. We're a peculiar people. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood, as the Bible says. So we're different. Your afflictions. Afflictions make us weary. Sometimes those afflictions take our mind off God. If you look at Isaiah 40 and 31, the Bible says that they that what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Walk and not be faint. Before that, he said, even the youth shall faint. But they that wait on the Lord won't. Man. You may be saying, well, Brother Armstrong, I'm trying to serve the Lord. But I'm dealing with a situation in my life, and I'm scared. If you go to Isaiah 41 and 10, it says, do not fear. Man. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uplift you with my righteous right hand. Then you may say, well, I'm trying to find my way. I'm trying to have the focus, but I don't have the shepherd. I don't know how to get to God. Psalms 23, it lets you know that you have a shepherd. It says the Lord is what? My shepherd. I shall not want. You don't have to want of anything. You don't have to want of anything when you allow God to come in your life and to direct you. How many of y'all have been on a plane before? How many of y'all don't like planes? I don't like planes. Because when you get up in the air, what happens? You hit those air pockets and those turbulence. And what happens? The plane starts to shake. But see, you have placed your life in that pilot's hand, right? The pilot has been trained to fly that plane. And so what the pilot does, what does he do? He goes either above or below the turbulence to make your trip that much better. How many of us have turbulence in our lives? Think about it. Who's driving your plane? Are you driving your plane? If you driving your plane, you're going to continue to hit those turbulence because you don't know the way. But give those keys over to God. Let God drive. You're going to hit those turbulence, and you're going to say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You're going to say no weapon formed against me shall prosper because the Lord is going to be driving. And then guess what? It's going to level out because God is going to take you above or below those turbulence. He's going to take us above or below. He's going to help you change your friends. He's going to help you change your environment. He's going to help you change your mindset. He's going to help you change your walk and your talk. And you're not going to realize how it happened, but it's because of the grace of God.
Turn over real quick to Acts chapter 16. Worshiping in spirit. We need to see what the value of worshiping in spirit is, church. Because oftentimes as Christians, when we meet those difficulties, that's when we stop worshiping God, isn't it? When we start going through our trials and tribulations, that's when we stay at home. Because we feel like that we're not worthy to present ourselves to God. Well, guess what? None of us are worthy. None of us. But it's by the grace of God that makes us worthy. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is but filthy rags unto God. If you look in Acts chapter 16, you had two individuals, Paul and Silas. And these two individuals were serving God the best they could, the best they knew how. They were going about preaching and teaching the word of God. Now, they were afflicted and beaten for doing the right thing. How many of you all have ever gotten in trouble for doing the right thing? Trying to help somebody out and it backfires on you. Trying to do something right at work and your boss get mad at you because it shows something that they were doing wrong. See, trying to do the right thing. See, when Paul and Silas did the right thing and they found themselves in prison, they had been beaten, what did they do? Bible says they started to sing and pray. They were singing and praying unto God. What do we do when we find ourselves in difficult situations? I can tell you what, most of us don't sing and pray. Most of us, we cuss, we fuss, we fight, and we mind revenge, don't we? But they sung and they prayed unto the Lord. And the Bible says as they sung and they prayed, a loud sound came about. And it was an earthquake. An earthquake opened up all the cells and took off all their chains. And every prisoner was able to walk out of prison. And if you look at this text, it says that the prisoners were listening. Why do we sing and pray? Why do we worship? We sing and pray, and we worship because God has delivered us from something that we couldn't get ourselves out of. Paul and Silas, they sung and prayed. Can you believe that people are watching you? When you call yourself a Christian, people will test you to see how you're going to respond. One thing I've learned in my short life is that I can't control what anybody else does, but I control myself. I control myself. You know, my boss, I started a new job last year. And so we were talking, and through our talking, she found out that I preach. She doesn't go to church anywhere, so I always take her CDs. And you know, now she calls me sometimes when she's at work and I'm off, and she'll say, Roderick, I'm dealing with this situation. How should I respond? And when we have our one-on-one, she said, I feel kind of bad that I have to lean on you for you to help me respond to these situations. And I said, that's okay. I said, that's what God put us here for. And I said, hopefully we'll see you at church one day. See, that's an indirect way to do the right thing. Now, what if I obliged her just because
I want to elevate my status at work. It's like, the way you're going to handle that is fine. It's not right. We have to stand for something. Remember, living life is worship to God. It's glorifying God. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, Paul says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, so that you know your labor is not in vain. We have to be steadfast. We have to have some backbones. Church, I think that sometimes in life we have lost our backbone. God has given us the word. He lets us know that when he was talking to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. 2 weeks ago when we were coming back home from vacation, and I'm glad I let my wife stay in the car, we went to this congregation in Macon, Georgia. And as we went in, my wife said, well, I'm not going to church with street clothes on, because we were on the road traveling. I said, I'm not either. So I said, you go in and change, and then when you come out, I'll go in and change. So when she was in there changing, I saw somebody walk across the yard with a guitar on his back. So when she came back to the car, we talked about it. I said, well, I don't want to judge. I said, they could be having a program after worship service. So then I went in and changed. And then I looked in the sanctuary, and they were having Bible class, and it was a big boom box behind the communion table. And I went back to the car, and I was being naive. Now I told my wife, I said, well, maybe their sound system is down. I said, maybe they have to connect the microphone to that. I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. So then I told my wife, I said, well, you know what? I said, I'm going to go talk to somebody. I said, if it's a legit church, we'll go in. I said, if not, you just stay in the car. Well, y'all know what I found out, don't you? It wasn't a legit church. And the man, when I talked to him, I said, is this the Church of Christ? He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. I said, do y'all have music? He said, yes, sir. And when I talked to my wife later, she said I was a little bit too hard on him. Because I said, man, you know that ain't right. And I started giving him scripture, and he looked at me. He said, well. He said, I like music too, brother. He said, and I know it's not right, but you got to talk to my pastor about that. I said, why I got to talk to your pastor about that? I'm talking to you about it. So we went back and forth, and I had to ask for forgiveness because I told him. I finally got to the point and said, man, I said, I'm wasting my time talking to you when me and my family need to be worshiping. I said, can you help us get to a real church? And he told me, don't you say that. This is a real church. I said, no, brother. I said, this is a counterfeit church. So then he said, the Church of Christ is a breakout from the Catholic Church. I said, oh, brother. I said, you're going to cross over into an environment you don't know what you're talking about. So it went back and forth. So then I was getting in the car, and he was still going back and forth with me. It was a little crowd outside now because his church friends then came outside. So I said, ask me one question. I said, 1 Corinthians. 14 and 15. I said, when the Bible tells you that we're going to pray with the Spirit, sing with the Spirit, and we're going to sing with understanding. I said, ask me one question. He said, yes, sir. I said, how does musical instruments have understanding? He looked at me, and I said, didn't think you could answer that, brother. Have a good day. So we have to be willing to stand on God's word. People are looking at us. People are watching us. And guess what? My wife was looking at me. She was watching me. She wanted to know how I was going to respond. Now, what if I laid down by the wayside and say, it's okay, baby. We're going to go on in here. We're going to worship. It's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to come up in here and not worship God the way he needs to be worshiped. He died for our sins on that cross. He gave himself up. Bible says in John 1 and 1, in the beginning there was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became living flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, worshiping in truth. Jesus in John 14 and 6 says, I am the way,
the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father by what? Except by me.
So John 1 and 1 says that God is the Word. And if God is the Word, and then 14, in verse 14 it says, and the Word came down and dwelt among us, that means that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen. Then John 14 and 6, he affirms that and says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So guess what? If we don't want to listen to Jesus, church, if we don't want to follow him, then we're not going to heaven. We're not going. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 17 and 17, sanctify me with thy word, O Lord. Thy word is truth. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth will make us do everything within this worship service decently and in order. But also in our personal lives, it will assist us to live decently and in order. It will help us respond the right way. It will help us season our words with love. In your Bible study class, it will help us have patience. It will help us have peace. It will help us to be long-suffering. It will help us with those things. And what is our right object? As we end today, looking at true worship, first of all, remember we have to worship with the right attitude. We have to worship in spirit and in truth. Then we have to worship for the right basis, and we have to worship the right object. What's the right object? The right object to worship is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about God. Proverbs 14 and 12, the writer says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto destruction. So sometimes if I get crosswired within my emotions, sometimes I may say something that I shouldn't say. Sometimes I may do something that I shouldn't do. That's why you don't follow your preacher. You follow God. You follow the scripture, because we fall short sometimes. And when we fall short, you can look at your scripture and say, Brother Armstrong, I love you, but you're wrong, brother. And you know what? If I'm a true servant of God, I have to get back up here and say, what I said last week, it was brought to my attention and I was wrong. And I have to correct that, because I don't want to lead you astray. Or lead you, make you fall short. But if you read your word, you already know what it says. And you only come in here to edify one another. So this morning, a couple of questions that I want to ask you, and the lesson is going to be yours. If you're thinking about serving God in spirit and in truth this morning, if you're falling short, and whether you need to get your life right today or wait till tomorrow. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you're a member of some other organization, and you're trying to make the decision where you need to worship at, which home needs to be your church home, ask yourself three questions. Whatever decision that you think you're going to lean on, what's the best thing that can happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? And what's the most likely thing that will happen? See, when I was young, I grew up in a drug-infested environment. My best friend, you've heard me talk about him, loved him to death. He sold drugs. And he lost his life because of that. So coming up, I was making a decision. I said, yes, fast money looks good. It sounds good. It's appealing. You can get a little bit of status. But what's the best thing that can happen? I can make a lot of money. What's the worst thing that can happen? I can go to jail. And that's worse than death to me, because I'm not a big guy. So I go to jail. And what's the most likely thing that will happen? I will end up in jail being abused for the rest of my life. Right. So I chose not to. And looking at your relationship, happen in your life without Christ? What's the most likely thing that would happen? And what's the worst thing that will happen? Anytime you ask yourself these questions, if the worst or the most likely thing that will happen outweighs the best thing that will happen, then maybe you need to go with the best thing. Make the smart decision in your life. Who else died for your sin? Did Satan die for your sins? No, Christ died for your sins. Because he loved you. And all he wants us to do is to sacrifice ourselves. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And allow God to join. So you've heard the word this morning. We know that in the Bible, Romans 10, 17, the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If you believe what you heard, you're going to repent of your sins. Repenting of your sins means you're going to change your way. How do I change my ways when I repent? Because you have changed your mind. And when you change your mind, those ways are going to change. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. And then you are baptized. The Bible tells us baptism doth now save us. Galatians 3, 26, 27, as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism saves our soul.
Amen.
But then we have to be faithful unto death. Revelations 2 and 10, we can't be lukewarm like the church of Laodicea. We have to be hot for the word of God.
Amen.
If anyone needs to come, please come today. Don't allow anything to stand in your way, because we know that life is but a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. We all want to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, we all have to be truthful about our lives and ask God for help. If you need help, come forward and stand and sing the hymn of the blessed.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, are you washed? Steve.